All right, if you take your Bibles and turn back with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. I entitled this message, We Belong to Christ. We belong to Christ. Text is going to be found in verse 24. And they that are Christ's. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now we've gone over this chapter quite extensively. Just give you a recap. Remember verse 13, the apostle shifts his focus from those who were in error, those who sought to be saved both by the law and by grace. He'd sum that up. There is no salvation by the law. Salvation is either by the law or it is by grace. It is not a mixture. The law is never intended to be superimposed upon the gospel of God's grace in Christ. And he makes it very clear that if you were to superimpose any part of the law to Christ, he says in verse 4, Christ has become of no effect to you. Christ will profit you nothing. Whosoever you are, it doesn't matter who you are. Remember, when the Apostle Peter made this grave error, even he was rebuked concerning this. And so he finishes this saying, look, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Free from what? The law of sin and death. You are free. You are now under the law of grace, under mercy and pardon. You are justified. You are sanctified by the work of Jesus Christ and not by your obedience to the law in any measure. Now then, he's dealt with that group. Now there's another group in this church who were faithful, who did not fall or were not duped by the legalists. And so now he addresses them and he says, brethren, you have been called to liberty. Only use not your liberty as an occasion of the flesh. What was their occasion of the flesh? It was to look down on those who erred. It was to put stipulations upon their return. No. And then he begins to lump us all together with this experience. Every believer has an experience. When you are born again of the Spirit, the first thing that happens when you believe is this warfare. A spiritual warfare ensues the moment you believe. He says this in verse 17, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. The flesh and the Spirit, the old man and the new man. You that are born again of God, you know this. I've gone over this several times, that when you're born again, God gives you a new nature. A new nature. The apostle says, put on the new man, which is created. It wasn't there before. It was created after God in true holiness. Not fake holiness. It was true holiness. That new man. Put that new man on by faith. How? Because you can't see him. Don't try to look for him. You'll look in the mirror. You ain't going to see him. You put him on by faith. He's there. He's real. You put him on by faith. You trust. You believe. But the old man, that which is born of flesh, Jesus said is flesh. It lives flesh. It dies flesh. It is the old man in Ephesians 4, he says. Put off the old man and his deeds. Why you got to put him off? Because he's still here. He's still here. How do we know that? Because the apostles, when he lists these works of the works of the flesh, he's not telling believers to look at other people. He's causing them to look within. This is my flesh. These are the works of my flesh. The flesh that lusteth against the spirit, these are the works of that flesh. Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness. That's me. That's me. I don't have to look at you. I see that in me. And this is what the apostle is causing them to do. To humble them. Yeah, you were steadfast in the faith, but I'll tell you what. You didn't lose this flesh. You are just as prone to heresy and error as these others that fail. And he's going to get to that in a little bit, talking about bearing their burdens. But he's priming it up right now. But there is a new nature that is given to every believer, and that's manifest in the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. This is also in every believer. Love for Christ. Believer, do you love Christ? You do. You love Him. Now, why is that there? Is that your fruit? No, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And I told you, the fruit don't... An apple doesn't make it an apple tree. An apple manifests it's an apple tree. Love manifests you are a believer. It doesn't make you a believer. It manifests that you have this holy nature. It doesn't make it holy. The more you love doesn't make you holier. No, it just manifests that you are. You love Him? Well, that's a fruit. And you love each other, don't you? Why is that? Love Him because that's what He puts in us. And that comes out of us. Pete, joy. Remember, joy is the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not this superficial joy. It's the joy of the Lord. What is the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is to save you. And isn't that your strength? When you're doubting and fears, you know what it is? It is my Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. Why? Because of Christ. It's His good pleasure to give me the kingdom. That's my joy. My joy is Christ. And He said, peace. We talked about this. Peace that passes understanding. What does that mean? That means this. That I don't have to understand anything. And be at peace. Why? Because I know that all God is doing is for my salvation and my good. It's like a little child. He doesn't know how his father works and makes the money to put the food on the table. He's just at peace that he's going to eat. He's at peace. So am I. I'm at peace. Knowing this, that I am going to be forgiven, pardoned, reserved. I have an inheritance reserved in heaven for me. Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. How are you going to get it? I don't know. I'm at peace with it, though. I have peace about it. Why? Because Christ made my peace by the blood of His cross. Long-suffering. He's long-suffering with us. Should we not be long-suffering with each other? How long-suffering is He with you? You see some believer that's ignorant about something. How long-suffering is He with your ignorance? Doesn't that cause us to be long-suffering with each other? Long-suffering. Goodness, I told you this means kindness. Kindness is not just a feeling of kindness, but also an act. You can't just feel kind and say that's kindness. It's not kindness until you actually do it. You see someone in need, and you say, oh, they need something, and you turn away and walk away. That's not kindness. It's kindness to feel that and what? Do it. This is in us to do. This is in God's people. When we see our brother in need, what do? We fulfill the need. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness. Isn't God good? Isn't He good to us? Should we not be good to one another? Is that not reasonable? Is that not reasonable? Yes. Faith. We went over this one. Faith is the gift of God, isn't it? This faith... I can't have love, joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering without faith. If I didn't believe in Christ, I couldn't have any of these things. Faith is a gift of God, isn't it? And faith always endures. And I'm going to go quickly over these last two. I didn't go very much last time. I'm going to jump back later on these two, meekness and temperance. Meekness is a combination of humility and backbone. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is an even, constant steadiness. It's seeing things as they really are. If we see who we really are and what Christ has really done, we surely would be meek and humble. It would humble us. If we could really see this, I wouldn't be able to look down on anybody. If I really see this, I'd be meek. Moses was the meekest man. You suppose he was weak standing before Pharaoh? That weakness? No, he had backbone with it too. In other words, this backbone comes with is a steadiness. Meekness is a steadiness. Regardless of what's taking place around you, you know what's real and true no matter what you see or feel or think. That's meekness. It's humility with backbone. And temperance is a moderation, rejoicing in those things that God has given us. So these fruits are all the fruit of the Spirit given to you who are a believer. And what? The flesh is constantly lusting against the Spirit so that you can't do these things like you want to. You want to do all these things? Can you do them like you want to? No, why? You got the dead corpse hanging about your neck. Of course you can. But here's the comfort in our text today. Look at this. You that believe, you that have this struggle, the apostle gives us in these words here, they that are Christ's. Have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Now I'm going to divide this into two parts. First of all, I'm not going to get to the second part. Just let you know that right now. I'm going to get to the first part and we're going to be thankful. I pray the Lord to bless this to you. I want you to see this. You that believe, you belong to Christ. You are Christ's. And I want you to see that those that are Christ's, those that are Christ, are His possession. His possession. Now the natural man has no longing for being Christ's possession. Men of this world, they don't care. They say this, I will not have this man to rule over me. They will not receive the gospel that testifies that Christ is all our salvation. Anybody that wants a part in their salvation, any part, no matter how small it is, whether it's a decision, or whether it's a baptism, or whether it's eating the Lord's Supper, joining the church, obeying the law, doing good. If you want some part, listen to me. You are saying this. I will not have this man to rule over me. I don't like this doctrine of election. What are you saying? I will not have this man to rule over me. It is rebellion. I do not like that Christ only died for the elect. What is this? Rebellion. Because you don't want to submit. You don't want to bow. You want to have it your way. See, I understand that because that's my natural man too. But remember, believer, when Christ exposed our sin? You remember when He exposed our sin? How He found us. He found us like that demoniac of Gadara who would not be tamed, living in caves and tombs. He found us naked with no hope and no refuge and not wanting one. He didn't wait for me to humble myself. He came to me and humbled me. Found us naked and with no hiding place. But how great was His love and grace to reveal the gospel of Jesus Christ to us by the setting forth of Christ crucified, the Holy Spirit used that gospel, convicted my heart, and I looked to him as out of necessity. It wasn't a choice. It was a necessity. I had to have him or I would die. This is how he comes to the believer. He comes with that sweet message, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Now where he found you? With a burden on your shoulders you could no longer bear. And he said, "Hey, come here. Come here, let me take that. Let me take that. You can't bear that. Come to me. You that are heavy laden, and you shall find something." What did you find? You found rest. You found rest. Not to the body. You didn't find any rest to the body, did you? You found rest to the soul. He said, "Take my law, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me." What is his law? Was it grievous to you? His law was the law of faith and love. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How light is the burden? Well, it's as light as nothing, because he took it all. He took the burden. He bore the burden to Calvary. He bore our sins. And so then now, you that believe on him, you don't wince from this. You don't back off from this. I belong to him. I belong to him. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. Now there's three works of God. I want you to see Christ's ownership of us is totally and absolutely the work of God. Christ owns us because of the work of God. First of all, I want you to see this. And this is for your comfort. Listen, we are Christ by the gift of the Father. We are Christ because the Father gave us to Christ. Secondly, we belong to Christ because he purchased us. He purchased us. And thirdly, we are his by conquest. He conquered us. He conquered us. So now then, let's see these three things. First of all, we are Christ by gift of the Father. Remember, believer, that our salvation did not start with our faith. When did your salvation begin? Your salvation began in eternity. Your salvation began when the Father gave you, chose you, and gave you to Christ. We belong to Christ. We belong to him because of the election of the Father. Because the Father purposed that we should belong to Christ and that Christ should be our surety. Christ should be our high priest. Christ should be our mediator. So often when we are troubled by this flesh and by the sinful deeds of this old man, when we fall so far and feel like God has left us, this should comfort us. Let us remember that we were loved long before we ever sinned. You were loved long before you ever sinned. God so loved us that he chose us to be his sons. Purposed. He purposed and then made all of the provisions that were necessary to make us sons. He didn't leave anything for you to do to make you a son. He purposed it, and then he would do it. Remember Joseph? What a beautiful picture that is. Before there was ever a famine, God sent Joseph. He sent Joseph to Egypt to do what? To store up grain. Why? Because there was a famine coming.
Now God did, now I want you to understand this, God did that to save one man. You understand that? God did all of that to save one man, Jacob. That's it. It was him. Isaac, it was him. So then it was Jacob. He purposed to save Jacob. So he sent Joseph ahead. And Joseph stored up what? All the provisions. So when the famine came, the provisions were already made. It's a picture of Christ, isn't it? God purposed to save Jacob, Israel, his chosen people. And then he would do what? Send Christ to make all the provisions. So when the famine would come, that's our birth and our time of need. When Christ, the Spirit comes and convicts us of our sin, there's a famine inside. And then he what? Gives us the provisions he's made. And so though we and our first father had failed and sinned, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. What I like about that analogy of Jacob and the famine is this. You know what? Jacob was just as starved as everybody else. Isn't that how we come into this world? The elect are just as starved as everyone else. Why? Because of our father. We all fail in him. But listen what God says to Jacob. He says this in Isaiah 44, verse 1. He says, "Hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." You see, the release of all fear and anxiety is this. I have chosen you. I have chosen you. Believer, do not fear. For it is your Father's sovereign choice of sovereign grace by which you are saved. We were born again as a result of this election. For had he not chosen us, we would have never chosen him. But here's the joy of God's election, is that our salvation was never grounded or based upon us. God never based any part of your salvation on what you would do, think, or feel. It has nothing to do with you. Your salvation was purposed of God according to His will. That's it. According to His will. We were chosen. And then, in an act of love given to Christ, in a covenant of grace, you see, he was chosen, Christ was chosen to be our representative. God chose us and put us in Christ and made him to be our representative. You know this very well in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul blesses the Father. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father," in verse 3, "of our Lord Jesus Christ." Listen to this. Who hath blessed us? Oh, you say, "Oh Lord, please bless me." Oh, he has. He already has. He hath blessed us. And listen, not with mediocre things as silver and gold and things of the world. That's not the blessing. He said with all spiritual blessings. Now listen, I don't have a clue what that means. I mean, I know some spiritual blessings, but I don't know them all. But whatever that is, I have it already. And here's where it's found. In Christ. That's where it's at. That's the root and source of all my spirit. The only reason I'm going to get into heaven, Christ. Only reason I'm going to make it through this life in faith, because of Christ. That's it. But he hath blessed us with all spirit. Listen, why? How? According. Listen. This is how it's done. I like it. He tells you, like, "Hey, look at this wonderful soup. Now here's how he made it." Let me give you the recipe on how this is done. "According as he had chosen us in Christ
When? Before the foundation of the world. When were you chosen? I want to be a simple preacher on purpose. Is that complicated to understand? You chose you, put you in Christ, when? Before the foundation of the world. That's easy to understand. Now, why did he do that? That, here it is, here's why. That you should be holy and without blame before him. That's why he did it. That's why he did it. That you should be holy. You that are not holy in nature, you that are not holy by birth, he said, I'm purposed this. You're going to be holy. That's what he said. It's the only reason I'm going to be holy. He purposed it. Now, what's his motive? Because I'll tell you what, there's got to be a reason. Right? In love. You want to know why he did it? In love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Now listen, how? Two words. By Jesus Christ. Now, where are you at? By Jesus Christ and your good works. No, that's not in there. By Jesus Christ. Listen, to himself. That's why he's doing it, himself. You want to know why God does anything? Himself. I don't like that. I don't care. God does everything for himself. To himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, what? When did he do that? When did he make you accepted in Christ? Before the foundation of the world, you were accepted in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, he'd already put you in Christ. You were already accepted in Christ. This is the will of God. Therefore, by the gift of the Father, the Son was made surety for us. You know what surety is? It's one that guarantees. One that guarantees. It's one that bears the responsibility. Who bears the responsibility for the salvation of the elect? Jesus Christ does. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. What the weight, the responsibility of his government, of his kingdom, will be on his shoulders. And his name's going to be wonderful because he ain't going to lose it. He ain't going to lose it. Totally dependent. And we know that by that picture of Judah and Benjamin. Remember when Joseph demanded that they go get Benjamin. And Jacob wouldn't let him go. And then Judah stepped in and said, I'll be surety for the lad. If I don't bring him again, listen to these words, let me bear the blame. That's what a surety is. Even so, Christ, the fulfillment of that type, says this: if I don't bring your elect to you, let me bear the blame. That's what it means by being given to Christ. He became surety for you. So you that belong to Christ, when were you given to Christ? From eternity. Who's responsible then for your salvation? Christ. Now then, secondly, you belong to Christ because he actually came and purchased you. He bought you. He bought you. Having been chosen by God and being our surety, he also has become our high priest. In order to fulfill the covenant with the Father, he became a representative man. That's why he came into the world. He came to represent all of his elect people. That's all he represented. He represented all that the Father gave him. Not one more and not one less. All that the Father gave to Christ, He came to save them. The angel declared this, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's what he determined to do. If I've been given to Christ, and Christ is made responsible for my salvation, I want to know this. Was he successful? If I belong to him, was he successful? Listen to his own words. Go to John 6. John chapter 6. Look at verse 37. Notice how he begins that. All that the Father giveth me. Well, that kind of narrows it down, doesn't it? Whoever they are, wherever they are, he says this, all that the Father giveth me. Listen, what's going to happen shall come to me. Again, am I speaking? Is he speaking over anybody? Is it too complicated, too theological for you to get that? All that the Father gave to Christ are what? They're going to come to Christ. That's just plain and simple. And then there's something he's going to do when they come. He said, I will in no wise cast them out. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that gracious? Why is he going to do that? Never leaves you to guess. For because I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Ever heard anybody say, well, man, I wonder what the will of God is for my life. I wonder what the will of God is. I don't know what the will of God is. And this is the Father's will. Just in case he's not going to leave you to guess. This is the Father's will. You want to know what the Father's will is for all that he gave me? This is the Father's will. That has sent me. That of all which he hath given me. All which he had given me. I should lose how many? How many? How many will he lose? Nothing. I'm not going to lose any of them. None of them. Is that clear? Man, you have to do some spiritual gymnastics to make him a failure. You have to twist that all around. I'm not going to lose one of them. How many are in hell for whom Christ died? How many? Zero. None of them. He's not going to lose any of them. But he's going to raise them up again at the last day. That's what he's going to do. Why? Because this is the will of the Father. The will of the Father is that you be given to Christ. And the will of the Father is that Christ should never lose you. Never lose you. Now, I don't know who the elect are, but he does. What does it matter to me? I don't have to point anybody out. I don't care. I want to know, am I one? I don't know if you're one. I just want to know if I am. I know this. He knows them. And they're all going to come to him, and he's not going to lose anything. Why? Because he came to accomplish the will of the Father. And what was the will of the Father? Listen to the will of God. In order to save us, he must provide two things. Righteousness and redemption. When I was starting out preaching, there was a preacher who told me that we should always preach the four R's. Four R's. Ruin, righteousness, redemption, regeneration. Four R's. Two of them, Christ is going to have to accomplish. Ruin, that's ours. Anything we own, that's it. Ruin. But this righteousness must be accomplished for everyone the Father gave him. He must provide a righteousness for them that they could not provide for themselves. What do you think he was doing for 33 years? When he came into this world, why did he just immediately go to the cross? Because he must have provided a righteousness. And he did that by obedience to God's law perfectly. And secondly, redemption. He must provide redemption by his blood. And so by this, his victory, what did he do? He bought us. He bought us. You belong to Christ. All our hope and confidence of salvation is this. He accomplished everything necessary for our salvation. That's what I believe. That's the hope of my soul, is that he accomplished everything necessary for my salvation. That's what the apostles meant when in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, he said, "But of God are you in Christ Jesus." Who put you in Christ Jesus? Father, by choosing you in election, put you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Jesus was made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Who's your wisdom? Christ. Who's your righteousness? Christ. Who's your sanctification? Christ. Who's your redemption? Christ. Who made him all those things? God did. God did, not you. By you believing, you didn't make him anything. God made him. That old saying, people say you need to make Jesus Lord. No, God beat you to it, one preacher said. God already beat you to it. Now, God made him all these things. Go to Hebrews. Look what he's done. Look what Christ did to purchase you. Hebrews chapter 10. This is one of my most treasured texts. I love this. He said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." Isn't that what I just said? John 6, "I came not to do my own will. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." Look at this, verse 10. "By the which will we are," what? "Sanctified." How are you made holy? By the will of God. You are sanctified. It's not you're going to be. You are. By the which will you are sanctified. Now there's a reason why and how. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How many times have you been sanctified? Once. Through the offering of the body of Christ once. That's it. Every priest standeth daily ministering, often the same sacrifices, and never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down on the right hand of God. Sat down because he was finished, right? He's finished. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are what? Sanctified. Sanctified by the will of God. Sanctified by the work of Christ. Christ hath perfected you forever. Forever. And what did this perfection do? It bought you. It bought you lock, stock, and barrel. I think a picture of that is Gomer. Gomer. You know what her name means? Wasted. God told his prophet to go marry a wasted whore. Guess who the whore is in this picture? Wasted. Used. Unwanted. Cast out. God said to his son, "Marry that one." And just like Hosea went down to that market and bought her, our Lord Jesus Christ came down into the marketplace of sin and bought me from the justice of God. He didn't buy me from Satan. He bought me from the justice of God. That's what chained me. That's what imprisoned me. was the law and justice of God.
And his blood bought me, and I am his.
Regardless of what men think of me, regardless of what happens to me in this life, I belong to him. I belong to him.
Peter says, for as much as you know you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Can't buy it. This price that he paid, you couldn't afford it. Not all the gold in the world could afford it.
And then he said this, neither of your vain conversation, not all your works, not all your obedience, not all your goodness and kindness toward men, none of that could have ever purchased this. You were bought with something so rare, there was only one of it. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. I think of that Passover lamb.
That firstborn son, he couldn't see the blood. He's in the house. Blood's on the outside. Couldn't see it. You know what he had to trust? He had to trust his father to provide a spotless lamb. Now, if his father messed up, he was a dead duck. But he trusted his father, and he trusted that the lamb was spotless. That's what we do.
We trust our Father has provided a lamb sufficient, his Son. And Christ as our Passover lamb has bought us. May God open our hearts to consider the great cost of our purchase. And when his blood was accepted, what did he say? It is finished. And this is the song of all who he purchased. Listen to this. We sing this, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to take the book. What a picture that is. Again, you see this, the lamb as it was slain. And John sees him and he goes up to God. And God has a book that's sealed, and nobody in the world, nobody in heaven or earth or under the earth, no one was able to even look at it, much less get it and open it. It was a book of salvation. Nobody could do it. Nobody could understand it. Nobody could see it. And Christ, he goes up and he takes it. Well, it was his right to take it. He took it from God. He went to God and said, give me that. It's mine. God said, you're right, son. That's yours. He took it and loosed the seals thereof. Why? For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us, bought us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, you got. I thought about that this morning. I just couldn't get my head off that. You shall reign on the earth. Don't look like we're much reigning today, does it? That's all right. You will. Why? Because he bought you. You're his. And he said, I've made you kings and priests. And thirdly, we are his by conquest. Now listen to this. We by nature, though we were chosen, though we were purchased by the blood of Christ, yet when we came into this world, we wanted none of it. We knew none of it. In fact, our nature was in full rebellion against it. Until when? Until we were conquered. I love this hymn. Listen to this. It reminds me of me. Against the God that rules the sky. I fought with hand uplifted high. Despise the mention of his grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night and fond of darkness more than light, madly I ran the sinful race, secure without a hiding place. And this is what the apostle says in Ephesians 2. And we were dead in trespasses and sins. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and were by nature haters of God, even as others. But these two words, what are the next two words? But God. But God, who is rich in mercy. How rich is he in mercy? How vast is the supply of his mercy? It's rich. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even while we were yet sinners. And what did he do? In mercy he gave us to Christ. In mercy Christ purchased us. And then in sovereign grace he conquered us. He conquered us. That song continues. Thus the eternal counsel ran. Almighty love, arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress and found I had no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view. To Sinai's fiery mount I flew, and justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. Is that what you found? I found I needed a hiding place, and I found this. The law was no hiding place for me. Ere long a heavenly voice I heard. Mercy's angel form appeared, who led me on with gentle pace to Jesus Christ, my hiding place. And this is all my hope. When I found him, this is all my hope. On him almighty vengeance fell, that must have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a chosen race and thus became their hiding place. When the Spirit comes, he comes like it was in the days of Jericho. When they made that shout, the walls fell flat and it rushed in. That's exactly what happened. The Word of God came in. My walls fell flat. In that day of conquest, who was the only one saved? Remember Rahab? Again, the harlot. And those that had in the house with the scarlet thread. Those are the only ones who were saved. When God comes, he saves his people. He conquers us. He conquers us. Remember that passage in Psalm 110? He said, thy people, my chosen people, my redeemed people, thy people, the people he gave to Christ, listen to what he said, shall be willing. When? In the day of thy power. What makes you willing to believe? Wasn't it the power of God? Wasn't it decision of the mind? It's not because your heart was emotionally affected. I'm sure all those things might have taken place. That's not the cause. The cause is the power of God. And therefore, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to conquer us, to give us a new nature by which he puts down the old and sets up the new, puts his throne in our hearts, and we do not shy. Christ is my King. Second part of this, here's the mark of it. They have crucified the affections and lusts of the flesh. Where was the flesh crucified? Are you saved because you keep crucifying the flesh? Now, I know you do mortify the deeds of the body. That's necessary. We do that. I'm not Christ because I mortify the flesh.
I'm Christ because I was in Christ when he was crucified, and there my flesh and lusts and affections were crucified. Are you Christ? Do you belong to him? Well, were you given to him of the Father? Did he purchase you? Has he conquered you? If so, you are Christ. And get this, he is yours. That's a well too deep. He belongs to me. He belongs to me. He does. Astounding. Oh, that we should praise and give glory to God for his work. I pray God comforts you with this. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Gracious Father, dismiss us with your mercy and blessing. Pour out your Spirit on us, I beg you. Oh God, be merciful, gracious. I thank you for what you've done, what you've willed, what Christ has accomplished, what the Spirit has put in us. And I do ask even this day that you would even save your people from their sins. In Christ's name.